Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be the Buttle Show, but now it's the K. Show.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a big football Friday. It's January 21st, 2022, a frigid, frigid day in the tri-state. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. And the other 20 and a half, that's your responsibility. This might be, and I don't think this is hyperbole at all, this might be the biggest, most anticipated Michael K. Show ever. It's that big. It's got that much at stake. Peter's talking on the phone right now, Don. I don't know if you realize that.
Are you kidding?
Oh, his Comrex is down. Maybe we don't have Peter.
It's when you dial in 30 seconds into the show, leave you no margin for error.
None. Well, the Giants have a new GM.
Sure do.
Yeah, Shane.
Shane.
S-C-H-O-E-N. Now, I love when people like will be experts about this. How do you know what an assistant GM is? Everybody you read, everybody that you talk to have great things to say about this guy, that he had a big role in putting together the turnaround of the Buffalo Bills. So, from the outside looking in, it looks good. They narrowed it down to three. It came down to Shane and Poles, and the bottom line is that Shane got it. Now, a lot of people are thinking that means that Daboll, the offensive coordinator of the Bills, would be the guy that would be the coach. I don't know if that's a slam dunk. I think Brian Flores is still in play as well. I think Dan Quinn is in play. But Shane says he's going to cast a wide net on the Giant head coach. And if you cast a wide net, you can't just say, I'm taking the offensive coordinator I know from the Bills. So we'll see, Don, but I think it's a good move by the Giants to hire somebody from outside the organization. First time they did that since George Young. We know how the George Young hire worked out, so maybe the Joe Shane hire works out just as well.
Yeah, and Ernie, of course, he was an assistant to George Young, but it had been with Cleveland and had been with Baltimore before that. So he had a resume even as the assistant general manager. So it's really something rare that the Giants do and haven't done since, you said, George Young, or even if you want to throw Ernie Accorsi in. But looking at the tweets, Twitter world, it's universally loved because of the success that Buffalo has had. Now, listen, Michael, I don't know too many assistant general managers that are getting hired off of 2-15 seasons, right? So usually the assistant coaches, the assistant general managers that are the hot properties are coming from teams that are winning. So we're ultimately going to find out. But everybody seems to love it. Now, I think Daboll is something that I think the fans love because they think they'll put two and two together and he'll come here because they find him to be responsible for the offensive turnaround of the Bills as well. So we'll have to wait and see. General managers are tough, Michael, because I don't even think you win the press conference as a general manager. I don't think it's important for the general manager to entertain the masses and say all the right things, right? I think that's more of a coach thing. General managers are usually behind-the-scenes guys. Sometimes they're introverted. And you saw Gettleman, how out there he was, and it didn't exactly work out. You know, so usually you wait for the press conference, and you're kind of blown away. I'm not sure that I'm looking to get blown away by the press conference. I'm looking to get blown away by the first draft.
And that's the key, and who he hires as a coach. I'll tell you what, he's a strappingly handsome man. So we have no idea if he's a good GM, but at least, you know, he'll look good at the press conference. He looks good in his publicity photo. And that's important.
Is it?
I don't know. Flores wants the job. Daboll supposedly wants the job. It was a neck-and-neck decision that the Giants made, but they weren't worried about Somebody else grabbing Joe Shane because he told them when he interviewed with them, he was the first guy that they interviewed. That was virtual first before they did it in person this week. He said, the Giants are my top choice. And a lot of teams wanted him. A lot of teams wanted to interview him, but he did tell them, the Giants are my top choice. I asked to fix a franchise that's 22-59 over the past five seasons, so it's not going to be easy. And the funny thing is, if he hires Daboll, well, the Giants would have a coach that looks like the Jets general manager. And yesterday, Donald, a lot of people jumped all over saying that the Giants might be closer than the Jets. And there was a segment of Jet fans, I guess, that listened to the show. And I love when people critique an opinion, right?
Right.
And one of the guys, I'm sure you saw this too. Well, it's obviously they don't watch any Jet football. No. Only every second of every game they play.
Yeah, come on. Give us more credit than that, please. We watch the games.
It is amazing when you look through the lens of the team that you love, how you see them differently than somebody who doesn't really have any investment in that team. It's amazing.
But I also think that a lot of the people that tweeted us, Michael, didn't hear the conversation. They just heard second and third hand that we thought the Giants were closer than the Jets. If you really listen to what we said, A, we don't know what direction the Giants are going to go into. We're talking about 2022. Who's got a chance to turn it around quicker and make the playoffs? And if Shane comes in and gets a veteran quarterback and fixes the offensive line, I think they're going to try to win as many games as possible. Now, the Jets are as well, but we're still waiting for the maturation of a second-year quarterback, and we don't know the pieces that are going to get brought in here. But if you tell me who's better long-term, I think we both agree the Jets are in much better shape. Because if the Giants go for it next year, Michael, they'll eventually have to pay the piper
right, and
have to start over again. When the Jets might be already a playoff team and establish themselves as a dominant team, the Giants might have to hit the reset button in 2 years when that veteran quarterback is done and all those contracts become bad contracts and they have to hit the reset button. So I don't know why a Jet fan would be upset with what we said.
Oh, they were so angry. The thing that I laughed about, they obviously never watched any Jet football. You have a New York afternoon drive talk show, and we don't watch any Jet and Giant football. I mean, really, that's idiocy to even say that. So we see it differently than you, who has green and white pom-poms. We don't. So,
yeah, but if not a thing is done, then, yeah, the Jets will probably be better next year. But I would think both general managers are going to do a lot of work. And I think the Giants might go for it. If the Giants blow it up, Michael, it's Jets and a slam dunk. Because as Peter said yesterday, they'll be 2 years ahead of the Giants if the Giants do that.
Right.
I mean, unless they take a huge step back, they should not be even. They should be nowhere near even next year, unless the Giants do something crazy this offseason that we're not expecting.
And it's funny too. And I don't want to jump the Jet fans because fans roll like this. These are probably the same people jumping us that like 10 weeks ago wanted Joe Douglas fired. You remember that whole lot? All those phone calls we got. Joe Douglas can't draft. He's hanging on the rim for the Jamal Adams deal. What has he done? And then all of a sudden, the team looks like it has a clue at the end of the season, and now they're ripping us for even suggesting that the Giants may have a better year next year. So, boy, you really went from one end of the spectrum to the other. Fired a guy, now you have complete trust in him. And believe me, the offensive coordinator was getting destroyed the first month of the season. Saleh was getting destroyed the first month of the season. Come on.
It's the ebb and flow of being a fan.
Man, I'm not mad at it. I'm just, you know, I just get mad when they are just so angry. Instead of wanting to have a healthy discussion and also jumping an opinion you probably didn't even hear articulated on the air.
And if you heard it and then you say, and if you listen to the show that we don't watch a second of the game, again, I would tell you every game the Giants and the Jets play, it's almost like water torture. We watch every second of every game.
How is it possible? We've got to interview the coach at 3:30 every Monday.
Yeah, week take.
It's our open. Yeah. And the only thing that rivals the Jets opening are the Giants. We got to watch every second of that, too. Believe me, my eyes are still bleeding.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that, like, even for me, who's in the division and roots right. against the Giants technically, I want them to be good. Do I want them to be good more than I want my team to be good? No, I don't. But would my life be a lot more fun and easier to do my job if the Giants were 12-5 next year or the Jets were a playoff team? Of course. We don't want them to be bad.
So it's interesting, though. Whenever anybody hires a GM, there's always plaudits. There's always, gee, that's great. I think a lot of people were really pleased when the Jets hired John Idzik. And they were really pleased when they hired McCagnan. And, I mean, it was a blanket thumbs up when the Jets hired Douglas. And Douglas has not been great yet. I don't think he's been bad, but he hasn't been great. So, again, you're always going to get a thumbs up unless they go out and they hire, like, you know, if the Giants, like, surprised everybody and hired Freddie Kitchens to be their GM, I think the initial reaction would be, oh, they hit a home run. So that's the case right here. Everybody's saying the Giants hit a home run. Let's hope they're right. But being an assistant is a lot different than being a general manager. A lot different.
Yeah, it's all on you.
This is all on you.
Yeah.
The last say on everything is you. The assistant could suggest. It's like the bench coach in baseball. You can suggest everything. The manager has to make the pull. He has to make the call. That's the same thing with a GM. All of a sudden, you're running the whole operation. An assistant GM is not running the whole operation.
Well, think about it, Michael. As an assistant in any walk of life, you might get a promotion if you're batting 500. Hey, listen, go to that guy. You know, half the time, he gets it dead right. But when you're the general manager or the boss and you get it right half the time, you get fired. Because you can't afford to make mistakes. Now somebody else was making the decisions. He made suggestions. He was right there. He helped tremendously. I'm sure his knowledge was able to help. But the ultimate decision now is all his.
And I give the Giants credit for the way they did this. And I give I give Tish credit. Took part in everything. Took part in all the virtual interviews of the first 9 candidates and was there for the 3 interviews of the finalists. And the reason I give him credit, he has another life. He has another business. He's a Hollywood producer. And usually what happens, Don, is that John Mara and Chris do all of the interviews for stuff like this. They narrow down to one person, and before they announce it, they let Tish talk to him. Well, Tish was very active this time. I give him credit. He owns 50% of the team. He should be active, even though he's not the quote-unquote football guy.
Right.
He's a leader. He's a boss. He understands what makes people tick. I like the fact that he was involved from the very beginning in every single one of the interviews. That's important.
And he should be, not just because he owns 50% of the team, but the guy that he's relied upon hasn't done a great job over the last 10 years.
Right. This is a different – you're viewing it through a different lens.
So I'm sure Mara has the final say because of how close he is to the football as opposed to Tish, but Tish should have a say. He should have a conversation. And I'm glad that he fought his way into that conversation.
I'm excited. I think this is the way I think they're going to go. Everybody's saying, well, get Russell Wilson, whatever, you know. If you look at the Giant cap situation, they're in cap hell. And they're going to have to do a lot of maneuvering to open up a spot that big. Remember that the signing of their draft picks, they have 2 first-round draft picks, so they have to make room for that, for those signings alone on the cap. I think they're going to go with Daniel Jones. I think Shane's going to see what he has with Daniel Jones. If they bring in Daboll, who's supposedly an offensive genius, he's the offensive coordinator for a team that has Josh Allen. And since Daboll got there, Josh Allen has been very, 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 very good. So, that being said, maybe he turns Daniel Jones around. If not, well, Shane has nothing invested in Daniel Jones. They don't give him that 5th-year option, in my opinion. Don't pick that up. If he has a great year, okay, then you could either franchise him or sign him to a long-term deal. I get it. That's the way I think they're going to go. And that's why I think that they can be competitive. Because if there is something that's hidden in Daniel Jones that we haven't seen and he's able to stay healthy, he could put together a season that makes you raise your eyebrows and go, wow, maybe he's the guy. Shane has to find that out as well. The new head coach does too.
Yeah, he's got to look at a lot of film. The coach has to look at a lot of film, talk to as many people as possible. But here's the difference between the situation the Jets were in when they were making that same decision with a new general manager and Sam Darnold, is that what's the alternative? You're weighing Jones against the alternative. Sam lost the face-off, Michael, because why? They had a chance to pick a quarterback 2nd overall.
Right, they're not going to pick a quarterback.
The Giants don't have that. So it's measuring Jones against, all right, what do we have to give up to get Wilson? Can we get Rodgers? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick an option? You know, is Kirk Cousins an option? You know, with all the different guys that they might be able to go out and get. And Jones, I think, has a chance to win that faceoff because I really don't know what else there is out there other than the big deal for the big-time quarterback.
If you ask me, do you want Ryan Fitzpatrick or Daniel Jones to be the quarterback? Daniel Jones, 10 out of 10 times. And I remember I used to joke with Peter when Washington goes with Ryan Fitzpatrick on a team that was a team that could win the division. Why would you go? Whatever you think about Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is the very definition of journeyman. Now, he didn't get to play this year because he was injured, but there's no way I'm bringing him in. Sorry, because if you're bringing him, that's more than a stopgap. It doesn't make sense. You're not moving forward. With Daniel Jones, if you play him, you're moving forward because you're seeing if he's good or not, and if he's bad, you know to move on. Ryan Fitzpatrick would be your quarterback for next year. That's it. So that's not the guy I would want. I don't think I'd want Kirk Cousins either. Now, a lot of people love Russell Wilson coming here. How much draft capital would you have to give up? Can you clear the space on the cap because he signed to a big, big deal? I don't know. We shall see.
If it only takes one of the first round picks, guys, how do you not do it?
Well, you got to clear the space too.
Well, you'll find a way to clear the space. Imaginative general managers are able to work through that. And if you're interested, you know you can do it. Well, we should know right away. His opening press conference. Well, we don't have the cap space. We can't do it. If it's on the table, that means they're interested. That means they can work through it. And if you get to keep one of those picks, and then you bring in a quarterback that. Listen, do I think he's on the back nine? Absolutely. But can I get 2-3 years out of him at a high level? And I have enough to fix the offensive line with some of the weapons they already have in a division that's open? I would give up one of those picks. Not both, but definitely one of them.
Now, I'll tell you one thing that's interesting, Don. There have been dysfunctional franchises in the city. And if you're a Met fan, you'd have to say the Mets got it right this offseason. They hired a very competent GM and a great manager. The Giants have been dysfunctional. And Mara said, you know what, we can't keep doing it this way. And they went a completely different way. And they hire a very, very highly thought of GM. And they're about to hire a coach. So that looks like it's turning around. And even the Jets, we saw toward the end of the season that they were making strides. And they have cap room and they have the two first-round draft picks. I think things are looking up for three franchises that are always looked at in this town as dysfunctional.
Yeah. And we thought the Knicks were on the way, but...
No. Did you see last night?
Oh, it's... How did that not make you sick? Seriously.
It was unbelievable.
How does that not make you sick in every way, shape, or form? Lose three straight games, three winnable games. I didn't expect to win all to be won by the Knicks, but lose all three?
You got to beat New Orleans, though. New Orleans started the season like 1-15. Now, they've played 500 balls since then, but home, you should not get embarrassed. Don, unless you watched that game yesterday, they didn't lose by 10. They lost by 25. Yeah. The second unit played with some heart at the end, and New Orleans let down. That was a blowout well beyond 10 points.
And it happened Monday, too.
What did they shoot from the line again, Michael?
They missed like 10 free throws again. And they had way more free throws than New Orleans.
And you know what? Now it's embarrassing for Randle. Now it's embarrassing.
Well, what he did at the end of the first half, if I were Tom Thibodeau, even though it would be a case of cutting off my nose to spite my face, I'd say, you're not playing the second half. Not only do you get teed up for no reason, for a call that took place two plays before when you scored the basket at the buzzer at the end of the second half, at the end of the second quarter, then you get teed up because you say something to the official, and then your teammates trying to hold you back, and you almost like push him down to the ground. It was an embarrassment, and I thought that Wally Szczerbiak on the MSG postgame said it best. He said, he's in his own head now. He said, that's the worst place to be. He looks like a different player. He looks lost. And the crowd was all over him. And he didn't play in the fourth quarter. And neither did Kemba. And neither did Fournier. What an embarrassment to lose to that team. An embarrassment.
And it only gets harder.
Oh, now they're going to go into the varsity portion of their schedule. They have two West Coast trips remaining. Remember last year, they were right about where they are now. Last year, they ended up winning 14 of their last 18 games and not doing that this year. They're not. Good luck. What a disgraceful outing by the Knicks yesterday.
And, you know, I thought Andrew made some really good points in our message this morning that he sends us, giving his input about Randle, Michael. And you've been on this, but leadership – with this team is a problem, and if people are following Randle as the guy, is his attitude at this point really making things better?
And how about this, Peter? He has not met the media for 8 straight games, and not meeting the media yesterday, the Knicks got fined $25,000 for that. So a leader, here's what a leader does, and I've seen it with guys on the Yankees. If you're a leader, you stand there in front of your locker, matter how bad you did, how poorly your team did, and you answer the questions. Because when you answer the questions, you take heat off the other guys that don't have to answer the questions. That's what David Cone was brilliant at. He would allow, when he would stand by the locker and just talk with the media forever after a game, and then everybody that had a bad game that wanted to skulk out of the locker room that wasn't a team leader, they could do it, and nobody noticed because David Cone was taking the oxygen away from them. Randall's hiding. So that means that R.J. Barrett has to talk. That means that Fournier has to talk. That's not a leader. That's a guy who's shirking responsibility.
I don't understand it, too. Last night he was another rough night. One for nine. His plus minus last night was minus 26. Just terrible. 4 points. And you're right. I mean, like, listen, I don't want – by the way, this is so not fun to kill Randall because he seemed like when we had him on the show, the one or two times we've had him, he seems like in real life a personable, cool dude. But, like, this is just not good. You just got the big boy deal. You got to put on your big boy pants.
I mean, that's part of being Batman, right?
Yeah, this is,
nobody's
this is your
talking
chance to show
nobody, him. Nobody's talking to Robin. Nobody's talking to Alfred. Nobody's talking to the commissioner. They're talking to Batman. Batman's the leader, and everybody takes the cue from the leader. So if you want him to be the guy, just don't look at the numbers. Is he ready to handle the adversity? Is he going to stand in front of that camera when they lose by 10? Is he going to be able to get everybody to play better around him in crisis time? It's easy to lead a winner. It's easy to lead when you're cruising, winning 10 in a row. This is the time where you see a true leader. Is he melting down or is he stabilizing the situation? Is he helping or is he making it worse?
And this is the exact worst thing that could happen to the Knicks, because if their grand plan was to sign him to a reasonable big money contract, because he didn't max out, and then maybe trade him. They can't trade him now. They get pennies on a dollar. He's at the low point. He's at the low ebb of his value. And he's hiding from the media. I think he's mad at the media, and he's mad at the fans, because he's playing like trash. I'm not saying he's not trying, but he's having a terrible go of it. He's nowhere near the player that he was last year. And again, he should be embarrassed that he will not face the music. And has nothing to do with us being the media. You're telling the fans why this is happening, and you're just walking out of the building. And that's the problem when you're not allowed into the locker room anymore, where you have to corner the guy, and he has to say to your face, I'm not doing it. Now it's so easy to tell a Knick PR person, I'm not going to the Zoom room. Awful. That's embarrassing. And the Knicks should tell him, we're paying you a lot of money. You're the representative for the team. You get your backside there, and you talk.
Part of it. Who is the person doing that? Because Leon Rose doesn't do it either.
So it's Thibodeau.
That's the only person you hear from is Thibodeau?
Well, R.J. Barrett's there whenever they ask him to be there.
But to your point, that's not it. That really shouldn't even be R.J. yet.
Not on a 21-year-old. Randall is hurting his own teammates by not talking to the media. Because you know what he's doing right now? You can see his body language, too. He's pouting. He feels sorry for himself. He wants to place blame on the fans and the media for why he's playing this way. No, the fans are on you, and the media is saying what they're saying because you're playing poorly. It's not the other way around. You're not playing poorly because they got on you. They wouldn't be getting on you if you played like you did last year. And once again, the responsibility of the star on the team is to always stand there and answer the question. Sorry, that's the way it is. That's what stars do, to go out 8 straight games and not talk to me. He's spoken once after a practice in their Westchester facility in that time. 8 straight games without going to the Zoom room. That's unconscionable. And the NBA should keep fining the Knicks, and they should start to fine Julius Randle. And speaking of that, fines. So the guy, David Vanterpool, the assistant coach of the Nets, I think he got fined $10,000. And the Net team got fined $25,000. He got fined $10,000 for interfering with the ball in play. Now, see how ridiculous this is. Julius Randle, at the beginning of the year when the Knicks started off 5-1, sounds like another year, decade ago, he threw a ball at the end of the game into the stands in celebration, and he got fined $50,000. How's that work? A guy interfered with a game, and another guy joyously celebrated by throwing a basketball into the stands, and the guy who interfered with the game got a $10,000 fine, and Julius Randle got a $50,000 fine? Does that seem a little unfair?
Yes. No.
That's
by the way,
wild.
The picks are in.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew has them. He has not commented. So here's what we've decided to do. Not going to give you our picks, but we're gonna go over the divisional games as the show goes along. We're going to say who we like, who we don't. You could figure it out, and then we will officially make our picks and put point totals in at 5:45. I think that's a nice compromise.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can we ask Andrew? Is there a way to ask Andrew if there's a solid amount of differences? In
all right, why don't we do that when we come back? That's a good question. Let's see if Andrew wants to answer it.
Okay, fair point.
1-800-919-3776. And you know what's scary about this weekend? Dropped the kids off this morning. By the way, it was Greg Nettles out when I dropped them off. Nine. I said to them, I asked Mr. Bruni, physical education teacher. He said, I don't have a good feel on this week.
No, that's not good.
Uh-oh. Mr. Bruni does.
Actually, he's borderline gutless, honestly.
He told me what he liked, but he said he liked all the home teams.
Okay, well, then I take it back because he's being honest with you.
Yeah.
Because, listen, you can't automatically feel it. I thought he wasn't going to make any picks.
No, he said, I like all the home teams. He said, but I don't love them. So there you have it. So we'll ask Andrew this very important question. A lot of people want to talk about the Giants hire, what they should do as well. And we'll start to break down what I've always believed is the best weekend in the NFL season. The divisional round games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday, and then we'll have championship games. Yeah, you love this, right?
I love it.
How could you not? Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, right here on Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, more bad news today. Meatloaf passes away. And as Don and Peter always make me out that I'm not a music expert, I think that the Bat Out of Hell album is one of the classic albums. Every single track on album is just stupendous. It's so good.
No question. My Meatloaf story, if you'll indulge me, Michael.
I will.
Sure.
It really involved you.
Okay.
He was a big Yankee fan, as people know. That's why he had Phil Rizzuto on Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. And he actually ran around the studio as if he was running the bases so Phil could do the play-by-play for it. Because Phil didn't know what was going on because he wasn't a rock fan. But he obviously knew Michael because he was a Yankee fan. So when we were at the old place down the hall was PLJ. He was doing something for PLJ. But when he found out Michael was on the floor, he went to go say hello to Michael.
Wow.
Respect,
Michael.
One of my favorite all-time songs is For Crying Out Loud, which is on that album. Mm-hmm. It's a long song, but if you're a Meatloaf fan, he absolutely nails it. So I had said to him, I said, I just got to tell you that it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And he said, thank you. Shook his hand, and I sat down because I had an update to do. He then put his arms on my shoulders and began to massage me.
Oh.
Wait. And tell me how important that song was to him. And when he first saw it, he had to do it because he didn't write his own music.
Jim Steinman did.
Yeah, and he was touched and then touched me.
And then he touched you.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'll never forget it because Michael is so dead right. That Bat Out of Hell album is top five.
I know how highly regarded it is, of course. I've never listened to it. I don't even know really what it's like.
Oh, it's a rock opera.
And it's
you
a
never
story?
Heard Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, Bat Out of Hell, 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, For Crying Out Loud.
Everyone's a classic. There's not one bad song on that album.
I mean, maybe I would recognize some of them if I heard them.
Did you hear the one we opened it we came in with?
Just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't super familiar to me.
Interesting. That could be used on your morning show.
I didn't really know Meatloaf. We did Meatloaf on the morning show, but we did I Would Do Anything for Love.
Right.
Because that's my generation.
Because he had split with Steinman, and then they got together for that album where I Would Do Anything for Love was. And I think that was his only top 10 hit, Don.
Yeah. Oh, really? Nothing on Bat Out of Hell?
No, it was not. The album, I think, might have been, but the songs, the singles were not. Really sad. And also the comedian Louis Anderson.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah.
I have to admit something.
What's that?
What's that?
I thought he already wasn't with us. So I was happy to see that he got more time than I thought.
But he was in the – how would you think that when he was in –
a great point.
He was in the
– Coming to America 2.
Coming to America 2.
Yeah, I thought it was an illusion.
How come he's allowed to kill people off, Michael? He killed off Paulie the other day.
But what? he doesn't kill him off in real time. You kill him off like it's breaking news.
No, but I've made it, the one thing I've established on this show is I can't read. So I misread it. Peter has them dead. That's worse.
That's a good
point. He's going through life thinking these people already passed.
Wait, who would I, Paulie?
You know, eventually he's going to be right.
Yeah.
Who did I kill off? That was Paulie. Paulie who?
From Rocky.
Oh, but the great Burt Young.
You had Burt Young killed off. Yeah.
I know. Let's move to Andrew, who has
here we
gold.
Go.
He
Bring
has
him
gold
in.
Gold in his hands right now.
Gold, Jerry.
Andrew, you've seen all the picks.
Mm-hmm.
Are there many differentiations between us?
Point allocation wise, there's differentiation. I'll say this. I'll try to be somewhat coy. Two of you,
coy.
Two of you have the same three picks, but with different point allocation.
That's me and Don.
You don't know that.
I think so.
Hold on.
And then you know what?
Wait a second. If it's me and Peter, Peter's done. He cannot. I can't finish last. If Peter and I have the same picks.
I won't say anything about who it is. I'm just saying two of you have
hold
the
on.
Same.
Don. How do we go from we were lobbying to get, and the listeners agreed, to get to do the full picks at 3 o'clock. Now we can't even give the information about this?
No.
We have to.
No, we don't want to give
Tell me what you want. I've got it all in front of me.
No. We'll go along. Let people listen as we talk about the games and try and figure it out. Do you have any idea to do radio?
So I guess all four games are represented.
All four games are represented.
Is there one game that all three of us have?
Yes, one of the four has been picked by all three of you.
And do we all pick it the same way?
You did.
I know what it is.
All right, tell me what you think it is.
My belief is we all picked Kansas City.
Interesting.
I think you're wrong.
I wonder what that means.
I think you're wrong about that.
Really?
Yeah. Then the one that everybody has could be, I guess, the Titans. Andrew's not answering.
Are you looking for an answer?
No, I don't have it. Your non-answer is fine.
Well, hold on. Stop it. Enough with this. I can't do it anymore, Don. This is a huge deal. If it's the Titans, it literally completely ruins my entire strategy that I took today. I'm in the toilet. I'm dead if that happened. If it's the Titans, I took the Titans, and I only took the Titans thinking Michael wouldn't play the Titans game.
Is that a way to make picks? Aren't you supposed to make the picks that you think you're going to win?
Don, you got to – no, of course, you pick who you think you're going to win is each game, but I might have laid off that game. But I said, you know what?
Right.
I got to play that game.
See, this is the last week in which you can just not have a certain game. You can play that strategy. Next week in the Super Bowl, you got no choice.
Well, you know what the key is with the Titans, right, Don? This.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds, the Ravens.
The bowling ball with knives.
Oh.
God, I want to know everything so bad right now. I have to wait two full hours for this?
You know what? And so do the listeners.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, and that's what they're doing. They're sitting there for two full hours.
Well, you know what? There's a chance that some are, and that's good radio. Good, congratulations, Michael.
You think he's got it right now?
I don't agree, but you don't
have to cover anything up when we're talking about the games, which we'll do momentarily. Tell us what you think. Let everybody figure it out. Let it be piecemeal. Right.
Besides, I'm not going to be able to retain any of this information anyway. By the time we get to 5:45, I'm going to forget everything.
Oh, if the Titans are the one game, then Peter is in the toilet.
Well, he said the point allocation is different.
Right, but you have it at three.
Who?
No, well... Well, he the way he talked it up, it sounds like he's allocated at least two to the Titans.
Well, you hate to see these things happen.
Well, hold on. But to Don's point, it could still be an effective measure if I went heavy points and you guys went light.
Right.
Then that can still be effective.
Right. Yeah, the way Michael is right now, if Michael has the Titans at one and Peter, you have it at three, Michael should root for Cincinnati.
Well, it's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Like
That's
I did what, last week. The one game I lost, I was rooting to lose because that was Peter's three, and it was
one. It's just interesting, though, because if it is the Titans game, I thought I heard Don sort of disparage the Titans this week.
Hmm.
And I also know Michael liked the Bengals last week. And frankly, I feel that a lot of people we've been hearing talk about the NFL in general have kind of forgotten about the fact that the Titans earned a bye and that they're getting Derrick Henry back. You know, and I think there's probably a certain level of satisfaction that the Bengals already have from winning a first-round game. So I started to like the Titans over the last couple of days, but I did not – well, I just didn't think that you guys were interested.
Well, you got to pay closer attention, my friend.
Really? Don't you think we remember the Titans?
Because
well said.
Really sad. Not well said. Unfunny. Is I disparaged the Titans winning the Super Bowl along with Cincinnati and San Francisco.
True. Yes, he did.
True.
A blanket disparagement.
My supposed disrespect to Tennessee does not apply this week.
So, Andrew, only
you know what, Michael? What's right is right.
Good only job. One game was only we only all picked one game the same way.
That's right.
But there are two people that have the same three picks.
Two of you had the same three picks, but with slightly different point allocations.
All right, well, I'm putting things together. So, Don, you and I have the same three picks.
It sounds that way.
It sounds that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Based on something Michael said earlier?
Yeah.
Sounds that way, huh? And that surprises me. Huh. I didn't see Michael as a Buffalo guy. I saw him as a Kansas City guy.
No, I take each game individually, Peter. I don't root. Okay?
I didn't mean rooting. I meant this week. Because to me, the public, I believe the public is pretty in on the Bills because of what happened last week. That's what happens, right? Don, the public gets excited. They see something incredible, like a perfect game against a shutout against Bill Belichick. Everyone gets excited, and I think that's why you have such a short line.
I know, but you also – the Chiefs didn't have any trouble with Pittsburgh.
They
granted,
didn't.
Pittsburgh is not New England, but still.
But because that, you're 1,000% right. That's why I had a conversation with my cousin this morning who's a huge Bills fan. And I said, how are you feeling? Okay. And we talked through it, and he told me how he's feeling. But he's also a very objective person. And after talking to him, I said, you know what? The Bills could win this game. They could. But the correct pick, Don – whether I get it right or wrong, the correct pick is the Chiefs.
And with the spread that we have at 1.5, you're picking a winner.
Come on. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right. I mean, yes, it could end with the Chiefs winning by one, but the odds tell you that.
And hasn't that line gotten shorter, showing us the public has been on Buffalo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore-Dew Irish Whiskey. We have Brooklyn against San Antonio tonight, 8:30 start. So the coverage on Yes starts at 8. Rangers in Carolina, 6:30 pregame show right here on 98.7. Puck drops at 7. It's a real good test for the Rangers. ESPN Plus will carry that game. And Arizona and the Islanders at 7:30, also an ESPN Plus vehicle. That's game time brought to you by Tullamore-Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore-Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We'll start to break down the divisional round when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Michael K. Show.
Well, the Giants have a new GM, Shane. How do you know what an assistant GM is? Being an assistant is a lot different than being a general manager. A lot different. This is all on you. The last say on everything is you. The assistant could suggest. It's like the bench coach in baseball. You can suggest everything. The manager has to make the pull. He has to make the call. That's the same thing with a GM. All of a sudden, you're running the whole operation.
The Michael K. Show.
Stop it. Enough with this. I can't do it anymore.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got a big football weekend coming. Big, big, gigantic. And it's time for the divisional playoff preview brought to you by the Jack Pocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Download the app. Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service. All right, let's take a look at the games. We've got the Bengals and the Titans. I guess some people are new to the show because on Twitter they're going, why is Michael mispronouncing that name? Because that's the way I say it, Titans.
That's right.
We don't know why, though, and it is weird, and it's not a joke anyone should get.
Right. But if you have consumed the show,
you've heard it.
Extent,
you've done this weirdness before.
You know.
Right. You got that? Good.
Sure.
All right. So here's some things that I've picked out. I'm sure that both of you guys have. Obviously, Derrick Henry coming back is gigantic, but that didn't slow down Tennessee at all when they lost him. They played very, very well. Now, here's a key note. Joe Burrow is great when teams blitz him. He's not that great when a team just puts pressure on him with a four-man rush. Well, the Titans blitz only 18% of the time. So that's going to play against Burrow. Now, his QBR when pressed with a four-man rush is 20th. And it's really, and I think it's top three when they blitz him. Now, let's look at Tannehill. Tannehill has the third-best quarterback rating the last 3 weeks of the regular season, 7 TDs, no interceptions, and he is probably the most maligned quarterback of the ones that remain. One note about Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Titans.
Yeah.
He's 8-0 outright and against the spread with at least 9 days between games. So there's some notes on that one right there. Anything you want to add, Donnie or Peter?
No, that was the big money stat for me, that after Thursday night games or buys, he's got his team ready to play. And sometimes you look at these buys and you think sometimes it hurts you because the team that played the week before might have a little bit of an advantage, but you see that number. That's Belichick-like. That's something he might have taken from Belichick.
That's a great point.
Yeah, he's an outstanding coach. A lot of people think that he's the NFL coach of the year, and he might be. Now, one other thing to look at, the Titans do not cover wide receivers well deep. They cover underneath patterns okay. They don't do a great job deep. And that puts a lot of emphasis now on Ja'Marr Chase. What can he and Joe Burrow do to exploit that? So that's something to look at. Bengals at the Titans, 3.5-point favorites, the Titans.
And I just want to say, you know, just congratulations to the NFL on properly having the Titans and Bengals where they belong.
I still think that could be a good game. You have no respect for the Titans, man.
No. Who are you talking to? Don't have respect for the Titans. Of course I do. But I'm talking about in terms of on paper, when the casual fan sees the names of these teams, this is the spot. Don, this is not. Is this not the Tennessee and Bengals playoff spot?
Oh, this is Houston, not sexy.
This is the Houston spot. This is the not sexy spot.
Right.
Saturday
4:30. Not sexy spot. But that doesn't mean it can't be a compelling game. But when you look at the ratings, I'm sure this will be the lowest, unless the other games are blowouts. I mean, Tennessee's only been in Nashville for like, you know, 20 years. Bengals have won one playoff game in 30 years, and it's more of a compliment to the other teams. 49ers, Green Bay, those are.
Well, let me put it this way.
I mean, obviously Tom Brady, everybody's interested in him. Rams in a major market, although the Rams are kind of close to Cincinnati.
Listen,
Tennessee is in general interest.
Don, listen, if you want to go to the Bada Bing or some sort of a gentleman's club and watch people dance And you can do that on a Tuesday at noon. But if you want to see the best they have to offer, you might want to go Friday night, 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Bengals-Titans is, but it's some... Wednesday. They just opened the bar. There's one person there, and she's on stage. That's Bengals and Titans.
You know what? And sometimes you can find your wife that day.
That's a, you know what? That's a great point. And
yeah,
guess what?
Nobody's not saying
that. Guess who my wife is this week?
Your wife is the opener that served waffles at the Bada Bing on Wednesday.
That's right. Tennessee Titans, baby.
Then we have the 49ers at the Packers. Right now, the Packers 5.5-point favorites. I thought this stat was amazing. You're going to all love this. Jimmy Garoppolo, gorgeous Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous Jimmy G has not played a game below 40 degrees since 2014. In fact, he's only taken three snaps in freezing cold weather, and that was to take kneel downs while he was at the Patriots. Three kneel downs. So it's going to be, I heard, either Lou Gehrig or Babe Ruth Saturday night.
It could be Robert Parrish. I'm here.
Oh, it could be Parrish. Look at you.
Could be.
This game scared me. I'm not gonna, completely tip my cap, but this game.
You didn't like this game.
Didn't like this game. It was scared. If I was, if I did like it, I would take the 5.5 with the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same way you are, because I think the Packers are the better team, but we've seen this act before with them in the postseason. And why do I have a feeling that San Francisco is going to hang around in this one?
Well,
I would have liked it a lot more had it climbed over 6 or 7.
Well, but I guess this. I guess there'll be a lot of import on this game because I like the Packers. The Packers and 49ers have scored 30 points or more 6 times this season. The Packers have done that 6 times since week 11. This is a team that is absolutely grooving. They're getting back Za'Darius Smith. They're coming off a bye. We just talked about how big the bye can be in these spots. Listen, the 49ers, I'm not taking anything away from them, but we all watched that game against Dallas last week. After the first quarter, they didn't do anything. They basically kind of held on.
Let them back in.
Against a team that wasn't good. You know, the 49ers did not really impress me last week because they could have lost that game easily to a team that was terrible.
Peter, it's one thing letting Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in. You're going to let Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in, it's going to cost you.
Big time. So, listen, I admit it. Packers have not been great to me this year when I've picked them, and 5.5 seems like a big number. But when you're realistic and look at what this whole season was, the Packers are a 10-point better team than the Niners. I love
Niners really became a good team at the end of the year. I think they're as good as any team left in the playoffs.
Well, you are absolutely wrong. That is the craziest. As good as anyone left in the playoffs.
Coach. They have a phenomenal coach. They're just if the 49ers go to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be stunned. I agree with Don. I picked the three teams that probably don't get there, Bengals, Titans, and the 49ers. But the 49ers, they're not little sisters of the poor. They're an outstanding team.
They're not.
With a great coach.
They're not the little sisters of the poor. You don't have to tell me about their coach. I'm well aware. But the Packers, you know, I know we're getting used to this, but this team was dominant this year. You know, they had the throwaway game this week against the Lions. Prior to that, they hadn't lost in... since the Vikings 34-31 2 months ago. They lost to the Chiefs 13-7, and they lost week 1 when they were completely lost against the Saints. Besides that, Michael, they were dominant. I mean, this is just I don't know, man. It seems to me Devontae and Aaron Rodgers arguably the best tandem now in football. Their defense has gotten fairly tight. They're getting people back on defense, and it's going to be frigid against a quarterback who's never played in the cold. I'm sorry. I like the pack here.
Well, didn't hurt Josh Allen last week.
Right.
Well, no, you mean that he hadn't played in that level of cold?
Well, he hadn't won in that level of cold. This
but
is a
played.
Little different, having not played in it. But
yeah, I mean, because Josh plays in Buffalo. He just hadn't won yet. But getting out and actually being able to throw the ball is a different story. And like I said, were you that taken with them last week? Like,
well,
of the winners last
week? They were about to have one of the most heartbreaking losses ever in the history of football.
So I don't know why Michael would argue they're as good as anyone in the playoffs. That I could not. Let me tell you this. They play the Chiefs or the Bills in the Super Bowl. They're a nice – against the Chiefs, Don, I'd say they're a 6.5-point dog, maybe 7. And I think against the Bills, they're a 4.5-point dog. I don't think they're – I think they are definitively a tier down, a very good team. Like, I'm not – if I'm RJ, I'm still excited and think I'm going in there with a chance. I'm not saying that they're not the little sisters of the poor, but I do not agree that they are in the class of the elite of the remaining playoff teams.
Well, one thing I would tell you that I believe that you're overlooking is that Aaron Rodgers has been pedestrian at best in the postseason. Pedestrian. I've got numbers for you.
Go ahead.
I brought numbers, okay?
Oh, I love it.
He is 11-9. In playoff games started with the Packers, 11-9.
Okay, now, not great.
No, it's awful when you compare it to other quarterbacks. It's part of his legacy, and he even admits it. So Rodgers holds the third worst winning percentage, of 550, ahead of Peyton Manning 14-13 and Brett Favre 13-11. Quarterbacks 1-7: Tom Brady 35-11, Terry Bradshaw 14-5, Troy Aikman 11-4. Joe Montana 16-7, John Elway 14-7, Roger Staubach 11-6, and Ben Roethlisberger 13-10, and these are with good Packer teams. He got knocked out at 15-1, a 15-1 team.
No, these are with good Packer teams, but I'm a believer that the reason Aaron Rodgers is the MVP to me basically every year that he plays football is that he is a guy who gets his team personally 5 wins a year.
I get it, but he becomes
a different.
That's
not a 15-1 team necessarily. That's an Aaron Rodgers 15-1 team.
Oh, okay, but then that magic's gone
when he gets
into the postseason?
Listen, you have numbers that show that he hasn't been as good in the playoffs as he's been in the regular season. I would just argue that some of those games that he lost in the playoffs, he had willed a team to get there that wasn't that loaded. This year,
you don't will a team to 15-1, Peter.
Well, I would say on that 15-1 team, if that's not Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about a team that's 9-7.
Oh,
that's
I
how,
don't think so.
10-6. I mean, listen, it's not like Aaron Rodgers hasn't had good talent around him. He certainly has. But you're acting as if he was the 98 Vikings every year. That's not what the Packers have been. They're solid. But that's why I like them right now. Because to me, now, they're potentially that good. 37 touchdowns over 4 picks this year, guys.
All right, so since they won the Super Bowl 11 years ago, he's 0-4 in NFC Championship games. 2014 at Seattle, he was 19 of 34, 178 yards. They blew a 16-0 halftime lead. Lost 28-22 in overtime.
He did drive late to force overtime.
Okay.
All right. If I remember correctly.
2016, 27 of 45, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 44-21 loss. All 3 touchdown passes came when the Packers trailed by 29 points.
Can I throw some stats back at you?
Sure.
Don, you ready?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers' playoff losses. In his losses, here's what's happened. Defense gave up 45. Defense gave up 37. Defense gave up 45. Led a game-tying drive 3 different times without getting the ball back. And the other 3 games, defense gave up 44, 37, and 31. So, just to be clear, those great Packer teams. Don, you remember the years where we all talked about how great the Packers were on offense, but they had no defense?
Right, because you go back to that Giant win in Lambeau back in 2011. Giants scored a ton of points. They had a Hail Mary at the end of the half that just ended the game. And then that Seattle team was one of the best defenses ever.
Oh, and you just named 2 of them. Yeah. That's one. Both of those were games where Rodgers tied the game. In the Giants game, they lost on the Tynes field goal. And on the Seattle game, they never got the ball back because Russell Wilson hit the bomb to end the game.
But he scored late to force overtime.
Right, in both of those.
You should get credit for that.
So, your stats exist, but that's not Aaron Rodgers coming up short. Those are Packers teams coming up short.
Okay, but then let's go a little deeper, right?
Let's keep going with Aaron Rodgers.
This is from an Athletic story, Rodgers has thrown 13 interceptions in 745 attempts over 20 playoff games. That's 1 interception every 57 passes, compared with 1 interception every 77 passes in the regular season.
Okay.
He's a different quarterback.
So you're saying he becomes more pedestrian in the playoffs.
Hey, defenses are probably better, okay? But this guy, as you said so accurately, he might be the most talented quarterback who's ever lived. But the most talented quarterback who ever lived should have more than one Super Bowl. Now, I think he was saddled a bit with Mike McCarthy, as we see. He's not exactly Vince Lombardi.
No.
But they shouldn't have lost last year to Tampa Bay, should they have?
No. And you could,
and he played okay. He was 33 of 48, 346, but he had an interception. At the end of the first half, and that ended up being a big interception.
It'll be interesting. Sounds like Michael's not touching it, Peter, so.
Well, I'm touching it. I'm touching
like
it.
Like meatloaf.
We're going to need that. Then we go to Sunday. Rams and the Buccaneers. Right now, it's a 2.5-point Buccaneer favorite. I think a lot of this game rests on the ankle of Tristan Wirfs, who is the all-pro right tackle for the Bucs. We know the Rams with Von Miller and Aaron Donald, they can really get to a quarterback. Yeah. And that's always been a real problem for Tom Brady when he does occasionally lose a game in the playoffs. The two Super Bowls to the Giants, when you rush him up the middle, he can't get anywhere. He's very, very immobile.
That's the key to beating a Tom Brady team is pressure. Whether it was the Jets back in the day, the Giants in their Super Bowls, that's the way to do it.
Now, they have played before the Rams and the Bucs, and that was week three. Stafford had a great game, 331 yards and four TDs, and the Rams won 34-24. So I don't know what that means, but as recently as week three, they did beat up the Bucs. And with the injuries on the Bucs offensive line, that's a little scary. Now, my guess is Wirfs will end up trying to start, but will he be effective? High ankle sprain, that's not a good thing to have. And the final game is the Bills and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorite. The Bills, as Peter said earlier, that is the that's the pick
sexy
and the flavor of the month now, because they played so well against New England. That's against Bill Belichick. Now they go up against the Chiefs. There's a team that gave them a heartbreaking loss, a chance to go to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are much better than they were earlier in the season. Much better. Their defense was terrible the first five or six games, and that was one of the best defenses in football ever since then. Mahomes has figured it out. He's taken the short pass. He doesn't always go for the long pass. But the Bills are loaded as well. 1.5 is an accurate assessment, because if you think about how the lines are made in Vegas, they actually think the Bills are better than the Chiefs, because you get 3 points for being a home team. So that would mean that they think the Bills are 1.5 point better than the Chiefs.
Well, they didn't. I think this started at 2.5.
Right.
And now is it 1.5? Because to the point we made earlier, I think the betting public is in love with the Bills right now.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, this is – I get it. There's no shame in a Bills pick, obviously, here. I certainly – earlier this week, that's where I thought I was leaning. And then I started leaning the other way when I really sat and thought about how special this team is and the fact that their defense has come on top of it. Like, they really are done. They might have not been quite as sexy. And they were, though. That's the thing. It wasn't as sexy because they didn't beat Bill Belichick, and the Buffalo fans are so loud. Like, that is such a loud fan base who's so excited. But we talked about this the other day. They scored 28 points, like, faster than any other team in playoff history. They were crazy last week against Pittsburgh. Now, we know Pittsburgh's not a special team, but they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They were dominant. And they've really been that way, Don, the second half of this season.
Really
so you take that, Arrowhead, Andy Reid, they didn't get one last year. There's a lot to like about the Chiefs.
And the Bills have just as good a quarterback, but I think
almost
a slightly better defense.
Are we going with Josh Allen? You're going with just as good?
Well, right now the way he's playing, and he's you know both can do damage with the legs. I mean, there's weapons on both sides, but they're both great with play action. They're close. But the gap might be bigger with the Bills' defense.
It's going to be a fantastic game. To be honest, like that game, the Chiefs-Bills, to me, no matter how you feel about it, essentially it's a crapshoot, because it feels like a last possession game. Like of all the crazy things we've seen over the last 2 weeks, this being lopsided would shock me. I think it'll be a fantastic game. But the Rams-Bucks game, I was close to taking. And in the end, I laid off of that game because I realized I liked the Rams. And the fact that I liked the Rams against Tom Brady, only giving 2.5 points, that was too scary to bet. I just To me, it's even if you like the Rams, and I think a lot of people felt this week about the Rams the way people felt about the Bills, because everyone watched Monday Night Football. They were so dominant against a completely lost Arizona team on Monday that I think a lot of people have leaned into the Rams this week. But I don't know, man. Tom Brady giving 2.5 points at home? I can't bet against that.
Anthony Greek, yes, according to a report which cited data from a Pro Football Reference, statistics show that Rodgers and the Packers have played remarkably well in cold weather games. Over 17-season career, Rodgers is 28-8 overall and 6-3 in the playoffs in games played in freezing conditions. Compared to his career overall winning percentage of 67%, Rodgers' winning percentage actually climbs to nearly 78% when kickoff temperatures were 32 degrees or below.
Listen, I don't. You guys don't remember this, but like I have not had luck with the Packers this year. But when push came to shove, this week I feel like they. It would be such a huge disappointment if they don't make the conference
I think
championship.
That Ballack is the one who talks you into this.
He's bullish on them. Very bullish.
Sense.
He truly, all week, I'm not going to lie, he has been on me all week saying, I guarantee you, I promise you, I'm 1,000% sure. But listen, he says that to me every week with them practically. So it's not that for me. If it wasn't San Francisco, I don't know. If this thing had gone differently and they were playing, actually, I'd still like them against the Rams. I guess if they had the Bucs this week, I'd have a little more pause.
And you're taking a Bucs team that really is decimated by injury.
I'm not taking the Bucs team. I didn't say that.
I'm just saying, but you're talking
about... I'm scared of a Bucs team.
But why? Because of Brady? Just Brady.
Brady and a short line at home. Like, you know, last week I played the game. Oh, let me just go with old Bill. I know how Bill Belichick does. And Brady, he's done. And I got completely shown up. So I just don't think I could do it again. And in the end, I'd go, here's the problem. Totally reasonable to like the Rams. They were fantastic this week. But if you end up getting crushed by the Bucs, you're gonna go, I bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs?
But yeah, that's the risk you're taking.
But it's comfort food again.
Which one?
Brady. Taking Tom.
Oh, it is. It is, but comfort food. But, Don, why do people order comfort food?
Because it's delicious. Comfortable and it's
comfortable.
Easy.
It's easy.
But sometimes it's not good for you.
Sometimes it's not good for you. It's not, but sometimes it is.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll take some phone calls. It's going to be a great weekend. We'll make our picks at 5:45. We have Tannenbaum, who actually had Joe Shane on his staff in Miami, so he can give us some insight on the Giants' new GM, who they announced today, and now their search for head coach begins with Shane leading the way. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is going to be an issue. Jarv from Oz.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Our Australian correspondent, he brings up a good point. He said, when you make a bet, no matter what the line moves, the line at the time of your bet is it stays. He said, if the line moves, you should be able to change your bet, which is something that I said to my two Nudnik co-hosts, but they didn't want anything of it. They wanted to be able to talk about the games. So I guess if you took the Bills or the Chiefs, the line has to stay 1.5.
Well, it doesn't make that big of a difference, I don't think.
Oh, yeah? Well, what if they win by 2 points?
Well, I'm just saying,
and you
Michael,
took the Bills.
I don't think it would – if you took either team, I don't think you're scared off of it moving by a half point. If it moved by 3 points, it might be a different situation. Hey, it is a negative byproduct of it, but the thing is and Peter made this point a while ago, is that you want to make sure that when we make the picks, we're using the lines that people can go out and bet. Doesn't make sense if you're using an old line, then it doesn't matter. So you kind of have to pick at the number.
The number one we picked.
No, I think it's got to be the number at 5:45. Because what good is telling everybody – you like the Bills at -1.5, and then they try to get it, and they can't get it at 1.5. So what good was doing the picks?
You wanted it too now. So, but you can't change your pick is what I'm saying.
Right. I don't think you should change the pick, but what I'm saying is, right, Peter, you got to go with what the line is at 5:45.
All right, then what happens if the line, for some reason, like Andrew Whitworth is out for the Rams? What if that line skyrockets?
I don't think it'll skyrocket.
I don't think it changed. Well,
you guys put yourself in peril by this silly little game. I hope you're happy.
Well, you don't have to mock us.
Wait, but hold on. I don't know if we were put in peril.
The legitimacy is put in peril.
Well,
it went from 1.5 to 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But I just think, Peter, for continuity purposes, I mean, we are doing the picks so people, you know, because they want to hear them so they can make bets. Doesn't make any sense to pick a game at a number that doesn't exist.
No.
Then why are we doing it?
And by the way, I mean, I can only speak for me. I'm not moved by – I've been thinking it was 2 all week. So 1.5 or 2.
I don't think that in this particular situation, it's not an issue. If something were to happen like Mahomes didn't play and it becomes 5 or 6, then I would have no problem saying, all right, make
another
bet.
Let's reassess here. Yeah.
Let's reset. We're gentlemen.
At least
2 of us are.
Yeah.
Did you see that the 60-year-old Staten Island ferry? You know, there's different ferries, but this one has been used for 60 years. It was put up for sale and purchased by Colin Jost and Pete Davidson. $280,100, and they want to turn it into New York's hottest club.
That's pretty cool. I actually had my prom on a boat.
Really?
Back in 86.
Was it a dinghy or was it a big boat?
It was a big boat. It went on the water. It was nice. It was a fun time. Took Nancy.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, what a great story. Let's go to Danny and
you know, that's being a jerk.
I meant
my wife, for God's sake.
I said, what a great story.
Everything's
really
fun,
meant
but
that.
I could smell the sarcasm.
That
right,
wasn't,
Peter? It was
you know
dripping
what?
Out of your mouth.
Then you don't know me that. That was a case where I wasn't being sarcastic. I said it quickly, and I was going to go to a phone call.
Peter? Andrew?
I'm going to stay out of this one.
Okay. I think Andrew's going to take a knee as well. So go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Because I didn't do anything wrong. You're really on edge these days, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been a tough day.
Go to Danny in Long Island. Danny?
Dan.
I don't know much, but I'm pretty sure Meatloaf was playing on that boat the day of Don's prom. That was a big, that was a huge album during that era, so I'm pretty sure Don was rocking out to Meatloaf.
It's the only
Don
time
might have actually resembled Meatloaf.
It's the only time during Don's childhood that he actually listened to Phil Rizzuto.
When
Listen, I'm not sure if I have an opinion on the change of the format of the show, but I will tell you one thing. He had a little issue early in the week with Peter disappearing and not paying attention. Oh, he's locked in today. From 3 o'clock, he's been listening to every syllable, trying to get out, trying to decipher who's with who and who picked who and for what point. So from that angle, man, you really got Peter's attention with the new format, especially once they start giving out
You know what got Peter's attention? 0-3 last week. That's what got his attention, 0-3.
That's a fair point as well.
You don't celebrate doing
your job. Couple of quick stats I deciphered while I was on the treadmill today.
Oh no! He's off the treadmill.
I think he fell. I hope that wasn't a Mr. Big thing.
I got to tell you, that may be a drop. I think that may be a drop.
Let's go to Jason in Jersey City. JJ.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just got a quick question.
Okay.
But before I ask it, I just want to say, Don, I would give up a limb to have your head of hair.
Aww.
So don't ever let them tell you anything about your hair, please.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let
you would
go.
Actually give up a limb, Jason, a limb for that mop.
A limb, yes.
Wow.
I've been shaving my head because I have to. I've lost my hair at the age of 27. I'm 33. I would give up a limb.
What limb are we talking, you think?
What limb?
Limb or appendage?
Any limb. My right hand. Don't care. My right arm.
For that head of hair,
I'd give it up.
Wow.
No question.
Beautiful. All right.
That being said, my question is, if you guys were the GM of a team and they were in the same draft and you had the first pick in the same year when they were young, who would you pick as your quarterback? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's funny because when they were young, they were undervalued. I mean, Rodgers was picked toward the end of the first round, and Brady was picked 199th. So when they were young, the better player everybody would think would be Rodgers, right? So, but if they're young and you already know how they turned out, that's a tough question because on pure talent, it's Rodgers. But on what counts the most, winning, it's Brady.
Well, just ask yourself the question, Michael. If Rodgers was a Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Would the path be any different?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I think you think I'm going to automatically say yes.
It's a fabulous question because there's no question Rodgers has talent, but does he have the winner in him that Brady has?
I don't think he is as obsessed with winning as Brady. I think he wants to win, but Brady's whole life is dedicated to football and being great at football. I don't know about that with Rodgers. I'm not sure. Well, he hasn't. I mean, Brady's made a business out of it, you know, TB12.
I think Tom does what he does, Michael, because if everything's equal, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Right. He doesn't have the physical talent.
And he has to do everything to be at that level. So if Rodgers did that, you know, I can't imagine somebody being better than Tom Brady. You can't go wrong with either of them. But
the better arm and the better legs, it's Rodgers. The way the NFL scouts people, they're going to look at, you know, their skill level, and the skill level of Rodgers is much higher than Brady. Brady's mind might be better than Rodgers.
Well, here's the thing is that when you look at the games that Brady's lost in the postseason, most if not all of them came because the opposition came with a lot of pressure. Jets, Giants, you know, Eagles. So if Rodgers, who was a little bit more athletic with his legs, could he have bought more time to not lose those games? But then how many cerebral things happen during the course of the game that Rodgers wouldn't be able to do? The one thing I'll say about Brady, and maybe we give him credit for it, maybe we don't, but just in your mind's eye, Susan, when you go through Rodgers' highlight reel, how many times do you see him hit a receiver and there's not a defender on the screen?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
that's what he does.
That's coaching, but that's also Brady looking at the play, at the line of scrimmage, changing it, and maybe his mind and how cerebral he is results in that. But, you know, I'm not saying he can't thread the needle, but a lot of those big plays that you think of are just, whoa, how did he get that open? And maybe he deserves credit for that, maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
All right, big 5 o'clock hour.
Oh,
might be
kidding?
The biggest 5 o'clock hour in the history of the show, 20-year history of the show.
Well, definitely 2022.
Yes, for sure. So we make our picks. We have time.
Time is flying today. It's flying.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's going to fly. It's a much quicker show because we're off at 6:30 because of the Rangers. So we got a lot to pack into this. And also, we have to start deciding what we're going to take as a group. Andrew, do we know what DiPietro and Rothenberg's pick is?
No, we don't.
Do we know what picks they made against each other, or do they not do that?
I don't know.
Well, they were public, so we can go back and find them.
All right, let's towel off for a moment. Come back and get this train rolling again. 1-800-919-3776. Divisional playoffs. Knicks had a terrible loss. Rangers with a big show-me game tonight.
This is no joke, this game.
No joke.
I'm a little dubious on why it's, you know, Georgie's playing, but what are you going to do?
He is?
Yeah. Georgiev's playing.
Why?
I don't know.
Get somebody on the phone. We'll be back in just a moment. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael K. Show.
Everyone hears us give opinions, and they hear specific things one of us will say and think we're a moron. How could we think that? It's easy to do when you're sitting around and you have your own thoughts on something. You've been listening to sports talk all day and you've heard 50 points from other people. And now you're offended by the fact that we see things differently. But the fact of the matter is, most of these people always have an axe to grind. The people who come after us and say we're morons, you always look at their avatar and they're a huge fan of the team.
The Michael K. Show.
People are functional morons, okay?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Very valid point said in different ways. 1-800-919-3776. What a weekend. What a time to be alive. It's just amazing. So much stuff going on. Giants hire their GM today. It's Joe Shane, the assistant GM from the Bills, who helped turn around the Bills organization into one that looks like it's going to be a Super Bowl contender for many years to come. Giants are hoping for the same from him. Again, he was an assistant. He was not the GM. The GM, his name is Bean, he actually spoke with Giant writers and media, and he said, you know, we're really happy for Joe, but we're not going to allow him to take any of our staff. So we're going to try to attempt to keep all it. So he's not going to be able to get people from the scouting department and stuff like that. Right. The Bills are going to protect that for their proprietary interest. And we'll see. Does he have a wide network of people from which to choose, or does he keep some of the people in place that were there for Gettleman? And that might have been some of the problem. So he's also going to start to cast, quote unquote, these are his words, wide net to look for a Giant coach. It looks like the three that are on everybody's minds, Daboll, the offensive coordinator from the Bills, Flores, the former coach of the Dolphins, who really seems like he wants this job, and Dan Quinn, the former Falcons coach and the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. So that's where we stand right now with the Giants. That's what we started off with today. It's big news. Giants hiring out of their organization for the first time since George Young. And, you know, they'll only hope that it works out the same way.
Now, it's universally loved because he comes from an organization that has done well over the last few years. So we'll see who his coach is. Dable can come here because it would be a promotion. But as far as, like, pilfering the staff, Michael, I guess you can't stop a scout from taking a job with the Giants as an assistant GM or a head scout. Like, but guys taking making parallel moves, that's going to be difficult to do. But if he's been an assistant general manager on a successful team, he has a list of people that he wants to take with him because this is a job he wanted. It's probably something he's wanted to do his whole life. So once the Bills started winning and his name started getting thrown around, he's probably been working on his staff. Probably has it already a mental note in his head.
Supposedly, second place was Poles from San Francisco, Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles was from the Chiefs. Second place was Adam Peters from San Francisco.
Right, it was supposedly like really ended up being
flip of the coin sort of thing.
Yeah, Shane by a nose, according to Jordan Ronan. That was really close.
And the thing that made Peters really appealing is that was the first hire that John Lynch made when he went from the broadcast booth to the GM position with the 49ers, and he didn't know anything or anybody about running a team. And Peters essentially was a GM as an assistant GM. He did everything, so that was a real positive for him. And a lot of people think that Peters and also Ryan Poles from Kansas City, they will eventually become GM. So it looked like the Giants had their choice of the three top guys, and they ended up with Shane, and we'll see how it works out.
And at least according to reports, Michael, this isn't a situation where John Mara is telling him the direction that he wants the team to go. Apparently, he's going to have carte blanche to do what he wants to do. If he wants to rebuild, they'll let him rebuild. If he wants to try to win now, they'll let him try to win now. So that's because I don't think, to defend Gettleman at least early on, Michael, I don't think he was given carte blanche. I think he was brought in here to save the Giants immediately and made the decisions based on that. It sounds to me like they're going to let him do what he wants to do, build the team in his image, how he wants to do it. So they scout, and he knows what the Giants have, and he'll ultimately determine what direction they're going to go in with the coach.
You know what's really sad, though? Eli Manning is such a positive part of Giant history. Mm-hmm. I mean, Don has made the case, and he's right. The best quarterback in Giant history. Two Super Bowls, thrilling Super Bowls against the Patriots. But the end of his career set the Giants back a decade, the way they handled it. They just could not say goodbye. They loved him so much. He was such a good soldier.
Right.
What was staring them right in the face that he could not play anymore, they kept making excuses. Well, it's the offensive line, doesn't have weapons, things like that. They should have gotten rid of Eli 3 or 4 years before they did. And I think things would have been changed.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, because you promote McAdoo because McAdoo is the offensive coordinator. Eli had a good year the year before. Doesn't work out. Boat trip, losing Green Bay, miserable season the next year, gets fired. And now all of a sudden it's maybe we got to look at the other quarterbacks. But because of how clunky it was handled, it went from let's look at the other quarterbacks and maybe let's separate from Eli to now let's throw Eli an olive branch and give him another shot since we embarrassed him by ending his streak.
Although we dare to see tomorrow.
And then Pat Shurmur comes in because what he did with Case Keenum in Minnesota, and they're like, oh, maybe he can turn Eli around. And then you wasted another 2 years. I don't blame Eli.
No, it's not Eli's
fault. I blame
fault.
John for, you know, this was Wellington's last draft choice, and yeah, you want to try to do it.
It's so counterintuitive, though, because it being that hard to say goodbye to someone, it feels like the kind of thing you want your team to do. You want them to be that kind of team, but if you don't do it the right way
This is a cutthroat business. This is a team, an organization, that Wellington allowed them to cut Phil Sims after a really good year.
Yeah,
George Young got rid of Phil Sims after a really good year because with the cap and all that, it was time to move on.
Yeah. Phil thought he was signing autographs, and then Dan Reeves cut him. And the shame of it, Peter, we might have talked about this before, it was the day the Rangers, I think, either had the parade or won the cup. So he didn't even get the back page. He got like a flag at the bottom of the page. What do they call that, Michael, in the newspapers?
A flag at the bottom of the
right.
page.
Okay, I got it right. Look at that. And so he didn't even get the love that he needed to get. But, you know, but in defense, Michael, how many people were on board with the Giants trying to get Eli one more?
I guess a lot of Giant fans were, but, you know, in, we're looking at this as Monday morning quarterbacks. It was the wrong move. They were wrong.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you jobs are kept and lost based on the results. And it was a colossal fail. It wasn't yep. like Pittsburgh where you snuck into the playoffs and everybody knew you really didn't deserve to go. We're talking 3-13 bad. Like, that's really missing.
The Titans have officially activated Derrick Henry off IR, so we know that. Packers, linebackers Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus officially activated off IR for Green Bay.
Great name.
This is our bonus today. It's getting closer and closer to the big game Sunday. Keep it locked in for your chance to win the ultimate box pool in 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza. So all you have to do is be caller 4 right now at 888-987 ESPN right now to win a $20 FanDuel credit. Access for 4 to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter Rosenberg, Chris Carlin, and Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, and select a box for the big game in our $5,000 box pool. We've already had a winner today that won a TV, 43-inch TV. When selecting a box, winners could reveal one of 10 daily double prizes. That's what our previous winner had. Prizes include a gas-powered pizza oven, Oculus Quest VR headset, Theragun massager, and more. Remember to be listening to DPHO and Rothenberg, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Greeny, Barton Hahn, and The Michael Kay Show throughout February 11th, or through February 11th, for your chance to be a part of Superbox Bonanza. It's all brought to you by FanDuel, 98.7 ESPN. You know what's amazing about the morning show, DPHO and Rothenberg?
Oh, I was just going to say this. I'm appalled.
What?
Rick doesn't – they don't pick games against each other, right? It's too much pressure for Rick. I hate picking games. I've told you guys that over and over. You won't allow me not to pick games.
That doesn't sound good, though.
That's not – come on. He played in NHL playoff games.
I mean, sort of.
Wait, no, sort of. He played.
He played. He was there.
I'm not going that road. I mean, he's a professional athlete, and he can't handle the pressure of making picks. That's weak sauce.
I am a little surprised from a guy I care so much about. We spoke about this earlier. The Knicks with an embarrassing loss yesterday to New Orleans. Just embarrassing. Julius Randle had such a terrible game. Got a T at the end of the first half that he should have been sat down and benched for the remainder of the game after that. It was so embarrassing. Now, he was fouled. He got slapped in the face and didn't call. I understand him being upset, but play continued, and he hit the last second shot of the second quarter, and then leaving the floor, he said something nasty. The official teed him up, and then Fournier tried to hold him back, and he kind of pushed Fournier away, almost pushed him to the floor. Terrible look for a leader of the team, and then he doesn't meet with the media afterward, and I'm told it's been reported that the NBA fined him $25,000, but the Knicks are going to pick it up. They're going to pay for it. Well, unless you make him pay for his indiscretion, as a leader of the team, he has to be the spokesperson for the team. Right. Grow up. Things aren't going well. Face the music. Well, face the questions.
Sounds to me they're defending the behavior if they pick up the fine.
Yeah, they are. So they'll have a game this weekend at the Garden Saturday, and that's then they hit the road to a really tough part of their schedule. Speaking of Garden teams, Rangers tonight against the Hurricanes. Don said it earlier. I was kind of surprised. Gorgiev is the goaltender in a really – I don't think they have to have a litmus test because they've had such a great season. They've played so very, very well. But you want to beat the Hurricanes. They're the team that knocked you out of the bubble. I mean, they kind of embarrassed you. You play your best goaltender. What are you doing? When's the last time they played?
Listen, the last time the Rangers played?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
They can't
and
play
Shesterkin
on
should have
Friday?
Won the 4 stars. I don't know why he wasn't. Again, I don't know if he tweaked something. We're not hearing anything as far as how he's feeling. He did have COVID, but he's played since then, so I can't imagine it's anything there. Benoit Allaire is the one that usually makes the goalie decision. Gallant's the one that kind of leans on the goaltending coach, like who he thinks can go. But, yeah, I kind of want to see mano a mano, right? I think it's the best team in the NHL, Carolina, right now. They're 4 points back of the Rangers, but have 4 games in hand. So this, to me, is the team to beat to win this division. You got a game tomorrow against the Coyotes, who are one of the worst teams in the NHL. So it's not like Georgiev's going to have to sit and wait a while. He'll play tomorrow.
Yeah, why couldn't you play Georgiev tomorrow and play your best one tonight? Unless you don't think you're going to win this game tonight.
Well, I don't know, you know, why you would play that. You know, this is a chance to, hey, listen, if you lose, it's not a big deal. It's January, you know, but I think you want to put the best against the best. And I'm a little surprised, not knowing if there's anything else that's not being disclosed why he made the decision. But if Shesterkin's backing him up, then I guess it can't be injury. Now, maybe you get Georgiev to win tonight, and then you go back with him again tomorrow and try to give Shesterkin a little bit of time off. I'm all for getting Georgiev a chance to play. And if they weren't playing until, like, next Tuesday, Michael, I'd say, all right, listen, they got to get the guy some time to play. But they're playing tomorrow against a bad team. I think the Coyotes have won, like, 9 games.
Yeah, I don't get it. Neither does Joe in Massapequa Park. Joe, talk to us.
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
How's it going, guys? Big fan.
Thanks.
So I can't really see any other reason Georgiev is starting tonight other than the locker room drama that happened last year between him and D'Angelo, who now, you know, plays for the Hurricanes. In my mind, this is kind of a revenge game for him, I guess we can call it. And I don't agree with Gallant's decision. I think, you know, the standings are too tight right now. We're playing a great team in our own division. Igor gives us the best chance to win, and I think that's a no-brainer here.
No, but that's interesting that I didn't think of. For people who don't remember, there was a game where there was a miscommunication between Georgiev and D'Angelo, and D'Angelo actually went after Georgiev physically, and it was pretty much the last straw on why D'Angelo was sent out of there. And could Georgiev, like, I really want to play in this game? If that's the case, then sometimes I like coaches to give a player a chance to do that. I don't know that that's the reason.
Well, there's a lot of ex-Rangers on the Hurricanes.
Oh, my God. Well, they could actually have a starting lineup of former Rangers. Antti Raanta would be the goaltender. They would have D'Angelo and Shea on the blue line. Brendan Smith played some time at forward. He's a defenseman, but he played some time at forward for the Rangers, so he could play forward with Faust and Derek Stepan. I mean, there's 5 former Rangers on this team. It's ridiculous.
Is it it's second half of back-to-back?
No.
No, the second half of the back-to-back's tomorrow against Arizona.
Front. So is it possible that that's just the only answer? That is
the answer? Well, but that's not the answer because you play your best goalie against the best team and then play your backup goalie against the worst team tomorrow.
Right.
Arizona's playing tonight as well against the Islanders. You know, so you're getting one of the worst teams of the league also in a second of back-to-back. So if you want a safe landing for Georgiev, there it is. Now, maybe they want to just see, all right, let's see what you do. And I guess I looked at the numbers, Michael. He's got 2 lifetime starts against the Hurricanes. He's 1-1 with a 5.07 goal against average and an .887 save percentage. So it's not anything analytical. It's not like he's been the better goaltender, you know. So I don't know. We'll probably hear from Gallant in the pregame, which I'll be doing coming up at 6:30. But I'm not sure we'll have a satisfactory answer.
All right. One thing that we have to do. We have been talking about the division games the whole show. We have a pick to make. Against DiPietro and Rothenberg. They have tied us in the standings, which is a little annoying because we know so much more than them. So Jarve went back and listened to the podcast for us, and he said he thinks that they think that we're going to take the Bills, and he thinks they're taking the Chiefs. He said they said it quick, but he's not quite sure. So let's decide right now. What are we now? By saying it right now, they might be listening and take our pick because they get to choose first because they won last week.
Now, can we go against their pick? Can we take the same game if it's different?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean the same?
Like, well, I mean, like, let's say they like take the Chiefs. And we like the Bills.
And we like the Bills. We can do that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But Peter's made it very clear he's not on the Bill bandwagon, so.
I'm not. It's not even about, again, it's not some super strong. I absolutely know the Chiefs are going to win. It's just like, it's the way I feel about staying away from the Brady one, you know? Well, what's the one we... It seems that we all like Tennessee, no?
It's, well, we haven't said it, but I'll admit it right now without telling you my allocation or if I even took the game.
You like the Titans.
I like the Titans, too.
All right. Well, I think it's kind of settled then, no?
Yeah, see, this is what we haven't done all year and still beat them. So now that we're putting our heads together, they got no shot.
We haven't beaten them.
No,
they're not tied with us. No,
we're
not up on them.
We're up all year.
But it's dead tied now.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of stuff that went on. Vacation. Like, it's fugazi. They should be embarrassed. I don't even think Rick should come on and make the pick. Well, how does he handle the pressure of that? Come on an afternoon drive show and make a pick. They don't make picks because he can't handle the pressure. That's ridiculous.
Dave is coming on.
Yeah, all right, that's good because I could listen. He can handle the pressure.
But maybe they also don't make picks because we know that Dave has a little bit of a gambling problem.
Like that's going to fix it?
Well, I mean, if you do have a legitimate gambling problem, you don't make picks on shows.
Well, let me just.
Although, if you listen to a Saturday show, he makes picks.
He's got an hour with R.J. Bell.
Yeah, pretty much like, you know, makes out with R.J. Bell for an
hour. Sure he's got, I don't know which gambling site, but I'm sure he does a read for a gambling site. All things you wouldn't do if you got a really legitimate problem. Or you don't care. Because he does have a legitimate problem, but I don't think anybody cares. So I don't think he's not making picks, Michael, because he's got a problem. He's not making picks for what was said. Rick can't take the pressure. Come on, man. You're a professional athlete, brother.
Not anymore. He's not.
Yeah, but that's still in his soul.
All right,
and he's teaching his son. He's coaching his son. You going to coach your son to be scared?
Wow, you're really going deep on my friend. I don't like it.
Well, you know what? But I have you. But because of the history, you're not willing to climb aboard. But, Peter, I have Michael.
What do you mean you have me?
I mean, you agree with me.
That's a little odd. He can't take the pressure of making picks. A little odd.
Thank you. There we go. There's a little admittance from
that's
Michael.
Right.
It is a little strange.
It's got to be a little wiggle room with a friendship.
Yeah, you should be allowed to be critical of a friend. I tell Don every day I hate his hair.
Yeah, every day. There's not a day that goes by. Sometimes he texts me on the weekend.
Today he gets on the call and I go, oh, my God, I think Don cut his hair. Great news. And he goes, no. And he turns sideways. And I was disappointed.
We have our Superbox contestant number two of the day on the line, Phil Dean from Woodland Park, New Jersey. Phil, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Great. Congratulations. So you are part of the Superbox Bonanza. All I need from you, Phil, is a number between 1 and 100.
Number 27.
It's not a super box, not a daily double, but you are locked in. You can win, up to the $5,000 that we're giving away on Super Sunday, and you've already got the $20 FanDuel credit, access for four to the FanDuel pregame virtual party, so it's a good time had by all. Thanks for playing, Phil, and good luck on Super Sunday.
I appreciate it, guys. Good luck with your picks.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much. Those come up at 5:45. Ben McAdoo hired as the Panthers offensive coordinator, which might be where he's best suited.
Yes. Can he fix Sam Darnold?
We'll see.
Will he have the opportunity to fix Sam Darnold? Well, they gave him the 50-year option,
gave him the
so
money,
I guess he will.
So, yeah. Although Tepper looks like he wants Deshaun Watson. Tepper wants Deshaun Watson, so he'll just throw Sam Darnold and make him a backup.
We'll see. But Ben had some good years in OC.
Yeah, not bad.
Hopefully, if he gets hired there and has a press conference, he'll find a suit that fits.
Do you know what really turned it around for Ben? You know. You were there. You saw. He changed his hair. Changed his whole personality after the
first year. Oh, that's interesting.
That? Yeah. He used to have hair parted in the middle, kind of flopping down. And then all of a sudden, he came with it slicked back and product and gel. Looked like a different guy.
You hear that, Don?
Probably mocked him.
You hear that, Don? How much hair can affect you in the way you're treated?
We had a caller, Peter, who said he would give up a limb for Don's hair. Let Don grow it. I'm all for Don. I'm on Team Don now.
Team Don.
You keep growing that, baby.
Just because the one caller said he would...
I want my friend to be 50/50. Happy.
50/50. For everybody that rips me, you look awful. It's just, there are people that love it.
I believe
it. Whatever. But you know whose opinion counts?
Your wife?
Well, she hates it. Okay. I've lost her, but mine still counts the most.
There you go. Well... Depends.
I don't know if yours counts more than Nancy.
Where's she going?
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's a big take.
This is a guy who has admitted on air, if Nancy ever left him, he'd be in a fetal position eating
boxes of
Chinese food.
And you know where that fetal position would be? You know where all of those Chinese food boxes would be spread all over the place? This house.
She'll take that house from you in a moment.
You're probably right.
In a moment. And knowing Nancy, because she's very bright, she's probably put it in her name while you weren't even realizing.
Yeah, the money's already might have moved around. You don't
know. Yeah, she's very clever. Nancy and Don's marriage, it's like an episode of Ozark. It really is.
Yeah,
I don't know the reference.
She's laundering money, the whole deal.
No, she's not a bad person.
No.
She controls the money, and if she ever became a bad person, I would be screwed.
Done.
But I'm banking on the fact that I would have seen that side of her by now.
Don, I beg you.
That's a long play, Peter.
I beg you if you want to have a good time. I beg you. And it came back today. If you guys could just squeeze an hour a week to watch Ozark.
Like, I watched the first 2 years of Ozark. I just missed year three.
Well, it's got Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah, he's great.
He's good in everything.
It's done. It's, you know, skip one period of a Canadiens game every few days and watch it. It is a gem.
All right, we have the break. We have Mike Tannenbaum
and then what?
Next. And then we have the picks.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have ENN.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-919-3776. That's just a crutch because we're not taking phone calls when Mike's on. But I feel like saying it. Anyway, you're watching us on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.